Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. Thank you so much for listening. We're really excited for our guest today. We've got a couple who's celebrating their 8th anniversary with us. We have author Christina Arlo with us and her husband Noah. So we're going to bring them on here in just a bit and wish them a very happy anniversary. If you want to call in and wish them a happy anniversary, I invite you to do that. The phone number is 714-868-0220. Keep in mind that I'm not sure I'm going to take all of those phone calls because I can see there's a lot of you listening. But I'm going to open up a chat room, and if you want to wish them a happy anniversary that way too, that'd be great. And I can pass those on to them or they can see them themselves. I want to stop saying but we'll get to that, I guess. That seems to be one of my things. There we go again. But I want to just quickly mention Percolate. I get a little bit nervous talking about myself, but I've signed with Hay House. I'm really, really excited to have signed with Hay House, and my book is in pre-order mode all over Amazon and anywhere books are sold right now. It's called Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through. It comes out April 14th, 2014, and I'm just really, really, really excited for that book launch. And we've got another author with us here, Christine Arlo. Christine is the author of Madly in Love with Me. And welcome, Christine. How are you? And happy anniversary to you and Noah.
Hello. Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. And we were talking about our anniversary, and when we got the invitation to come on to the show today, we're like, it would be great to be able to be with all of you and share the love and share what we've been able to create together, because we know that love is something we all desire.
Yeah, absolutely. And the desire to stop saying but we'll get there.
We can love you even if you say it's quite okay.
Well, the reason why I said a few times is because I want to talk to you about that when it comes to self-love and self-worth and things that we do to beat ourselves up on. So I'm going to keep going as much as I want, and we'll prove a point with it. Noah, how are you? Happy anniversary.
I am fabulous, and thank you so much for having us. It's exciting to it's a different way to celebrate your anniversary to do it on the radio. I think that's an exciting way for us to just get a chance to be together.
Let's all say it ready together. I really appreciate you both coming on with us here today, because it's really special. Anniversaries are so special. And my husband and I are about to celebrate our 15th. We're parents of 4 teenage boys at ages 12, 14, 16, and 18. And one of the things I wanted to say to you, Noah, is I don't know what you do for a living yet, and we'll get to that, but just the support from a husband while your wife is writing a book is fascinating.
Oh, it doesn't stop when they're done writing it. It is a full immersed experience for the first 3 months after the publish date. So there's a neat, powerful, it is a little bit like giving birth, as I understand giving birth, which I have never done and will never do, but as I have heard stories, there's this piece of blank, there's this deep, intense process where you're creating it, and then there's this place where you're like, oh, my goodness, it's going to come. It's a very nerve-wracking time. And then as you're watching your baby begin to walk, it takes energy. So it is an intense experience of support.
And how cool is that? I hope my husband comes on the radio with me if I do a radio interview or something like that to talk about Percolate. Christine, how important to you is it, if you can put it into words, with Noah being on the phone right now? And throughout everything he's done with you writing that book.
Well, it's funny. Noah often calls himself a book widow whenever I'm writing a book, because I go so intensely into writing the book where I'll just disappear into my office for days. And Noah comes in, he's like, do you want some food? I'm like, yes, food, please. And he's been so supportive of holding the space. I'm a kind of writer who likes to go away and just write. And I think this is, you know, this is the thing why we said yes to being on the show with you all today, and why Noah and I speak together and teach together as well as my doing it on my own, is because we really believe in partnership. And even more than relationships, I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. And I know for myself, and I really believe that it's, if you're going to be in relationship, if you need to be in a relationship that's going to support your dreams, not take away from them. So from my standpoint, it's either better to be single and be on your own and go for your dreams, or be in relationships that are going to support you. Because being in relationships that don't support our dreams is just such a drain that most of us can't actually live our dreams when we're in that kind of turmoil in our relationship. So I feel really grateful that my relationship is perfectly imperfect and totally supportive. Even in the moments when we want to, like, you know, even in the moments where we're like, you're making me nuts, you're making me crazy, which totally happens, especially when you're under the stress of any kind of birth, including a book.
Yeah, absolutely. Noah, what do you do, just if we can ask, just so we know?
Christine and I are in business together, so we run our company together. It's called Expanding Possibilities. It's about helping people expand their lives. And, you know, for the most part, I run the business of our business and do some of the operational things and make sure the trains run on time. And then I also do some relationship coaching, because one of the things that I really deeply believe in is that relationships can be an amazing additive to your life. And this is the way in which, like, your relationship expands the possibility of your experiences.
When you guys first met, were you each doing what you do now, or were you doing something entirely different?
No, it's funny you actually asked that. We were like, where should we go for our anniversary? You know, people think of always, like, going to the most romantic place and this and that, and we really live our lives kind of really attuning to our inside spirits and hearts and where they want to take us. So we got on an airplane yesterday and flew to Chicago from California. So we mostly live in California, but right now we don't own a house or a car, so we can kind of be anywhere. So we felt like it was important to come back to where it all started. So it all started here for us in 2001 in Chicago, where we are both from, and it just felt like it was important to come back. We've been gone for 10 years, so it was important to come back. And when we met each other, we were both just doing the corporate thing, and I was getting my MBA at Kellogg, and we met at a time when we were both really wanting to make big shifts in our lives. I actually already started making some pretty big shifts, and Noah had started making some pretty big shifts, and so when we started dating, we were both on that trajectory to make big shifts and big changes, and that's been pretty much the continued journey of our very adventurous relationship and marriage.
Yeah. Did you have the book? I know you have other books too, but did you have Madly in Love with Me as an idea at that point? And the reason why I ask that is because so many times so you get married, let's just say, and you might be doing this and you might be doing that, and somebody says, "Oh, I want to write a book," I think, or something just completely that they've always wanted to do, but now they're actually going to do it. And It's a very interesting journey you go on, and I speak from experience right there, because that's kind of what I did. I looked at my husband one day and I said, "You know what? I really want to do this." And I started out writing a couple children's books, and it kind of grew into what it is now with Percolate, which is not a children's book, something completely different. And I remember the tremendous changes that went on in our household as I did that. There was a lot of change going on.
Yeah, well, everyone has a story, and my first book is actually called Choosing Me Before We. In that book, I remember when I gave it to my publisher, she said, "This is like a love ode to Noah." and it's because when Noah and I met, I had just several months out of a broken engagement to my high school sweetheart, and that was the catalyst that made me realize that I had almost chosen a different marriage and a life that wasn't even the one that I really wanted. And I made a promise to myself before I met Noah that I would never settle for anything less than my heart and soul desired again, and that I would love myself no matter what. And those two vows are the foundational starting vows for self-love. And I believe that once you make that kind of vow, I will never settle for less than my heart and soul desire, you have to actually go out there and listen to what your heart and soul desire. And so when Noah and I met, I was so committed to myself. And I really believe this is part of why our relationship has blossomed the way that it was, because he's also very committed to himself. And we start there. We started both, what are the lives that we each individually desire? And then it was like, are you the right partner for me? And that, I think, is the place where a lot of us get mixed up. We fall in love, and we think, oh, well, I love this person, so I should marry them. And love is the easy piece. Like, love is so easy. It's easy to love people. We're built to love. But it's a lot harder to be in trust, to have intimacy, to have connection, to have respect. And those are the things that Noah and I have grown and continue to grow and really have become the basis of our marriage. And we know that even if our marriage was to end or we were not to choose not to be together, there would still be love. And so for us, it's one of the biggest ahas that we've had, and it's a big piece of the first book, Choosing Me Before We, that I wrote, because I felt like so many of us misunderstand love and relationship, and Noah has been such a great teacher for me on what it really means to be loved and allow love into your life and how to build a partnership based on trust and respect.
Noah, what do you think about all that?
The thing I would really want to add to all that is, you know, as you partner with someone and they find a passion that is just, that has to come out. There are two things that you don't do because you want to, but you do because you have to. One is you pursue a PhD, and the other one is you write a book, because they're both these things that take this tremendous amount of passion to get through the process. And without it, you won't finish. When you find someone who's in that state where they're deeply passionate about what they want to do, being able to say, okay, I understand this is going to affect my life. All of a sudden, from having this sort of fancy corporate gig, you're going to pull back and you're going to focus on your coaching, and you're now going to write a book, and that's going to be your focus. And that is going to change all kinds of things in my life. So my choice is, can I be with that, be happy with that? Does that fit my life plan? And can I be with Christine as she's going through that process? And to me, it was an easy question. The life of change and renewal, which is what I think is the most constant thing in Christine and I's life, is this sort of this constant change that we accept that change is going to happen. And that we're with it, and that we just stay present to the change, and we feel into it, and it's not a complicated decision. It's simply, this fits or it doesn't, and if it doesn't fit, let's have a conversation about how to be with that. And it's just, it is an easy way to just be present to someone else's passion, see what it wants to grow, and be in support of it, and to say, okay, this is how I can be with that. And this is how I can't do it. This is how this is yours to do and not mine. And this is how it's mine to help you.
Do you think both of you will move together in a path of almost like relationship coaching together? It seems to me like you guys does that make sense?
I have a passion that relationships are a path of expanding your life, and that this is a real deep belief. And I think Christine has a totally different focus, and it's much more about self-development. Am I right about that, Christine? I hope I'm right.
It is. It's actually where we dance well together, and the work that we have done with couples is I am a strong stand for self-love. My whole life is dedicated to self-love. Because I believe that my intention and my deepest desire that I leave this planet and self-love is like a normal as table salt. Or it's as normal as like, you know, going to get a pair of gym shoes. Like, we just do it and everyone knows what it is. And it's just such a misunderstood thing in our culture. And so my heart's desire is to create a world in which people and children and men and women are just really love themselves and are so committed to themselves. And that doesn't mean that you don't have relationship. And so for me, opening up to love is the other piece. I really believe that we all want to be loved, deeply, deeply loved, and we usually look for love in the wrong ways, in the wrong places. And so having healthy love, having being wealthy in love is kind of the way I like to think about it, in relationship is what drives me. So when we work together, Noah is such a, he's a master at being able to see the dynamics between two individuals. This is probably why we're still married and why we have such a great relationship, because, you know, I'll be the one, you know that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus or whatever. I read that book. I'm like, I'm from the wrong planet. I don't know. Maybe.
That's what I always say, too. My husband's like, no, you just got to understand you. My husband sounds a lot like your husband.
I'm from Mars. I'm so not from Venus. And so for me, being able to... Yeah, I know, right? And Noah is just masterful at, but he's masterful at just, he always comes from love, yeah. And he's able to help people move to love. And then I'm really able to help people take a stand for who they are. And Noah and I, in our relationship, we don't believe in sacrifice, and we don't believe in compromise. We believe in collaboration.
Say that again.
Collaboration.
That's interesting. You don't believe in sacrifice, and you don't believe in compromise. You believe in collaboration. Okay, now we got to go there for a minute. We're going to sidetrack onto that. That's really, that's important. Can you elaborate?
Do you want to elaborate?
So I think sacrifice is something that you do because you want the other person to be happy, and you give from your happiness. That is not a sustainable model. That is something that will only leave you drained. And I think that is a training that we have, that there's either I get it or you get it. We can't both have it. And when we come from that place, we end up drained and empty. And compromise is, I'll get a little bit of what I want, and you can have a little bit of what you want, but we're not going to, neither of us are really going to have what we want. And collaboration is just sort of thinking it more like, what can we do together? How can this really be something that we're building together? Now, as it turns out, Christine does not like Mexican food. Christine, do you like Mexican food?
No.
Yeah.
Not like Mexican food.
And I have for years trying to get Christine to go with me to Mexican restaurants, which is just like this terrible idea. Like, it, on its face, it's either it becomes like we go to it and I'm happy and she's not, or vice versa. So now I don't go with her. I go with other people who like Mexican food. It's not like, you know, like this doesn't seem like a revolutionary thought. And you can do that, but yet people don't do it. You have to win. And when you get to a win-lose dynamic in your relationship, you both lose, even if you win. Because there's nothing worse than sitting across a table and having some beautiful guacamole and looking at the sad person. Like, it's just not really worth it.
And, you know, that's a simple example, right, is the food choice. If you take that and you can expand that into any decision that you make in your life. And it's hard. It's hard to collaborate. It's much easier to sacrifice. As much as they're like, okay, you know, I'll be the bigger person, or you know, I'll sacrifice because I'll take it for the team, or to like go into that tit for tat model. It's much easier because collaboration actually requires vulnerability, and it requires the ability to. And this is how you know whether you have a partnership for real or whether you don't. People always ask me, how do I know if the relationship that I'm in is truly a partnership? And what I say to them is, when you come to somebody with something that's not working for you, or something that you really need support on, or something that you want to change, or that you want to create, does the other person lean in, or do they lean out? And if they lean in, that means you have a partnership. If they lean out, that means that you don't. And you have to be really honest with yourself about which one the person you're in relationship does. So lean in. So, for example, like right now, Noah and I are in the process of really taking a look at what we want to create for the next 10 years of our life. And it's been a process we've been in for the last couple months. And we had an unexpected situation happen on the 1st of July where Noah had a stroke. We were literally sitting in the backyard at our friend's house in Wine Country where we were staying. And we're saying, okay, well, like, we're going to, you know, what do we want to create? We've just kind of finished this 10-year cycle. What do we want? Noah goes to the bathroom, doesn't come back. 10 minutes later, I find him laying on the floor unconscious. And 3 days later, total miracle, he walks out of the hospital.
You know, and I had that feeling when you guys came on the phone. I have no idea why I thought that. I thought, wow, one of you has had something happen. And I had, and I have not, one of the things I didn't do for this show was research you heavily because I wanted to meet you and hear you, and I do that frequently with people that I don't know at all. So that, you know, I know a little bit about you, but I don't know your whole life or anything like that. And I wondered that because my dad's a stroke survivor. My dad had a stroke in 2004, and I don't know. I just thought something like that, but interesting. Are you okay, Noah?
I'm doing marvelous. I mean, they put some magic drug in to help break up the clot, and I got to the hospital quickly, and I am super fortunate to be basically without symptoms, really, of that major event that, you know, honestly could have killed me. And it is a fascinating place to sort of come through all of that and return to a sense of my own health and vigor. And now look, wow, I am in the process with my partner of creating the rest of my life. And it is a powerful and dynamic place to look out at the next stage and be like, oh, wow, I have no idea what's next. And that's in certain ways challenging to Christine as she's sort of thinking about what she wants next and just trying. And for us, like sitting in the collaboration of these are the things that are going on in our lives. We have real experiences in our lives too. We have medical things. We have financial things. We have tensions around how many bags to bring on the plane and all of those things that happen. And that how, and our thought is how to be with that in a way where we're really creating for both of us, not for one over the other, that there isn't a winner or a loser. And, it's harder when there's real stakes like that. That's certainly a more difficult place than where to go to dinner, but the same principles apply. How can we do this in a way where we're actually acting from creating greatness for both of us, a great experience, a great life, and the things we really want.
And it requires a lot of vulnerability because you have to be really honest about what it is that you really desire. And I think, and this is why I'm such a stand for self-love, is because I think most of us don't really know what our heart and soul desires. We just kind of go, you know, along living what I call the escalator to death. And Noah calls kind of the mundane existence of humanity, where you're just kind of like going in, going out of your day, and it becomes this rote kind of experience. And Noah and I are both really committed to living life as fully as we can. And it requires that slowing down and really listening to what your heart and soul wants, and then supporting each other to do that. So it doesn't have to be a you get, but I don't. And that's really been the commitment that we've had for each other. And I think that it can feel scary. And then also, I think the other piece too, just being a man and a woman in relationship, where current, you know, Noah's really been in a very supportive role of running our business and the financials and the operations and helping. You know, we went on a tour earlier this year. We did four months, 25 events, I think, and he was really there as I was speaking at spiritual centers and colleges and universities and we did a little speaking together as well at a couple conferences. Mostly it was me and my book. And it's like, how do you do that balance between being a man and a woman in a relationship and value the support as you do as much as the person who's in front on the stage? And there's a real dynamic of how do you really value each other in relationship? And I think that's part of what keeps a relationship happy and healthy, is really valuing equally what each partner is giving.
How do you think, my parents have been married 40-some years, and my dad's a stroke survivor, since, like I was saying, since 2004, and now also a kidney cancer survivor. He got really sick at the age of 60, just collapsed in the middle of their living room and had a stroke. And how do you think marriages left and survived all of the things that happened. And, like, take it out 40 years, of course, of all the things that will happen. Do you have any advice for how marriages last? Because, I mean, divorce rate is soaring still. I don't think it's
going
down.
I'm getting a bunch of feedback. Oh, there you go. You're still there?
Yeah.
No, I think we should talk about our marriage mantras that we got. One from Baba and from Pele.
Yeah. So.
You do Baba, I'll do Pele.
Okay. So after our wedding, we went and visited. We had went and stayed in a beautiful hotel, not in Sonoma County. This amazing place. And we went there to sort of just relax and decompress from the wedding experience, thinking that we're going to this opulent place and we will relax and have a great time. And it was just sort of okay. It was just sort of like this sort of totally okay experience.
$2,500 two nights, it's okay. $2,500 two nights later, five-star hotel, and it was just okay.
Yeah, it was just okay. It wasn't, you know, it was sort of, you know, it just didn't tickle the funny bone or whatever it is.
Right.
And we left there. And went for a drive because I remember that we were, you know, about a mile away from a master of yoga, Ed Gorick. Ed Gorick Yoga. And so we went to his ashram and went and visited him to get a blessing for our wedding. And he gave us a mantra, which was simply, your mantra is respect. And it has been this thing that is an underpinning of everything we do together ever since. Like, just like that no matter what's going on, no matter what challenges or fights or joys there are, and as we interact with each other, it always comes from respect. And it like, that was so much more valuable, that moment with this enlightened being speaking just one word to us that was stayed with us every minute of the last 8 years.
And that became one that we have two marriage mantras. And so that was the first one. And I remember I think that from the cost of $25. We had a $25 donation, walked in, sat down with him and received that. And the return on investment on that was so much more. I said to Noah after we left, we should have just stayed at the ashram. It would have been way more fulfilling than the five-star mediocre hotel. And we also received another mantra that day, or actually the day before. My mother had the great but not so great idea to solicit advice from all the guests of the wedding and make a advice book and give it to us. Now, most of the advice we actually had to rip out, and like, because it was pretty sad. It was like, have fun, you know, have fun while you're single or while you don't have kids. Once you have kids, your life is over.
Oh my gosh,
it was not
happiness.
Good. Yeah, it was not. It was so not good. But there was one.
Everybody writing
there was
their
one
own
piece of advice. Yeah, oh my God, it was like a book of therapy.
Oh, yeah.
But there was one piece of advice that two of our spiritual mentors, Pele and Firehawk, who have been married, I think now for 15, 20 years now, and their second marriage, both of them, and they have this beautiful picture that they sent us, and it was a very simple mantra, and I would gift this to anyone listening right now because I really believe that it's been such a it's been so profound for us, and it's this. When it gets hard, go deeper. When it gets hard, go deeper. And that mantra in those moments, the crunchy, the hard, you know, it's like when we're really at those places where we don't want to lean in and we want to blame or we want to make it someone else's fault or we want to be righteous or right or, you know, whatever it is that when we come up to those places in life that are hard, whether that's, you know, someone having a stroke or it's trying to determine who is going to get the attention or financial or emotional or whatever, we all face those. And so that going deeper has allowed us to then lean in and open up our hearts. And oftentimes we'll, when it's really hard, we'll put our hands on our hearts and we'll have what we call a heart-to-heart conversation where we'll sit across from each other and put our hands on our heart and just speak from whatever our heart has to say, because we're, you know, feeling defended in other types of ways. And when you're feeling defended, most likely it's your ego and your fear that are in relationship and not your heart and your love. And so doing something like that, going deeper, and then also, you know, having a heart-to-heart and just speaking from your heart can really help create a deeper level of connection, which is the only place where we can actually really heal and also expand.
I love it. Those are two wise things. I would say that will definitely respect. And you said respect, and when it gets hard, go deeper. As marriage mantras. Any other thing that you would add to that yourself through the 8 years of life you've experienced together? Do you have other mantras, or just those two?
Those are the two. I mean, we will work with people oftentimes to help them find their own mantras, but those are the two kind of common across all of us. The other thing that Noah and I have instituted and has been a lifesaver is what we call fight fun, fight fair. And it's funny because we have different systems that work with us. When we had our house, we sold our house a couple months ago and have been traveling the world. But before, we had a house, and our assistant Mary would come to our house. And Noah and I, you know, we work together, we create together, and these moments of creative tension. And so, you know, our voices would raise, and we would, you know, kind of go back and forth. And she'd be like, "Oh, can you guys just kiss, you know, just make up," you know, just like it'd be like really uncomfortable. And I'm like, "No, right, it's fine, it's okay. We're in it, but because we have respect is a thing. We never hit below the belt." And so we have these rules. So when we got married, we actually created and signed a love treaty. And a love treaty is just like a treaty between countries where they have rules of engagement and for warfare and fighting and such. And so we have rules for fighting that we stick to that make sure that even when we're fighting and even when things get a little, you know, heated, that there's certain rules that we operate by that still allow us to keep the peace.
We should probably talk a lot about your book, but I'm kind of curious what you keep saying things. I'm kind of curious what some of those rules are.
I'm happy to share that. And people can actually, we have, where is that, where can they go and get that, the love treaty, that, Noah?
TheLoveTreaty.com. TheLoveTreaty.com.
Or NoahandChristine.com. They can go there as well. Why don't you tell one of your favorites, Noah, and I'll tell one of mine.
So there's some just very basic things that are super helpful, because in the heat of the moment, occasionally creates bad behavior that you know is bad, but you just do it anyway. And one of those things is one of the rules that prevents that for me is never hit below the belt. So when I learned to fight as a kid with my brother, basically what we learned was, how can I end this fight as fast as possible by doing the meanest thing I can think of? And that works okay with your brother for a little while when you're 10, but when you become an adult, that the long-lasting impact of being just as mean as possible, as quick as possible, is devastating to your partner. So just the idea of, even if I have a thought, like I know this is the thing that will just make her cry, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say something else. I'm going to look for something else to say. I'm not going to hit below the belt. I'm not going to reach for the pipe wrench or whatever the analogy is that's going to allow me to cheat, essentially. So be super, like, so that's like never hit below the belt. This is like, to me, the most important rule.
And for me, this is a genius one that Noah instituted, is the 3-month rule, or also known as no bringing up ancient history. So you're not allowed to talk about or bring up or throw in anyone's face anything that happened more than 3 months ago. It's off the table. can't bring it up. You know, if you, well, you know, 2 years ago when you blah, blah, and it's like all of a sudden you just reignited the whole wound over again. So that's been a lifesaver. And then the other lifesaver is no hypotheticals. No hypotheticals. So like, so if I was to die and you were, would you get remarried? Or if your mother and I were hanging off a cliff, which one would you choose? Like, you have enough problems in your life to like create hypothetical, dramatic situations. Usually when we're trying to do that, we're looking for something from somebody, like some affection or recognition or love or comfort, and you actually have to be able to give that to yourself first. Usually then that's where self-love comes in. Whatever you're looking for, you have to ask yourself that.
That's a really funny thing, because as a mother of four boys, that's a kid thing to do. Hypotheticals are like a kid's, you know, kids always do it. Mom, if you had an apple or an, you know, and that's a dumb one, but, you know, what would you choose? You know, and kids always, their brains do that kind of stuff every once in a while. It's the funniest thing with kids. Every kid I've ever been around ever is always throwing out hypotheticals. What do you think if, you know, that person was in a room or that person was in a room? Which one would you want to meet? Or what? They're funny like that. So that seems like a really immature thing to do. No offense, kids. We love you. But hypotheticals,
we are like kids. I mean, most of us are totally relationship challenged. You're challenged. When it comes to being in relationship, we are those little kids again, because our little kids are the ones that have gotten hurt. Right? And so we learn all these crazy things, and this is, you know, a big piece of my teaching and a big part of that's in Madly in Love with Me, the book, and it's also in Choosing Me Before We, is to really identify those places and ways in which your heart has received what I call a love crack. And that love crack came early on in your life, likely from a parent or a sibling or a teacher or somewhere where, you know, you met that person with open-heartedness and they met you with fear or shame or blame or abuse or something. And so you learn to protect yourself. And then what happens when you get in a relationship is those love cracks get triggered again, just like, you know, and become like a tremor. And then if they keep going, they become like an earthquake. And so the person that you're in relationship to, you're actually relating to them based on love cracks that have nothing to do with them at all, but have to do with what's going on inside of you.
Well, it's also interesting how we take, you know, somewhat of the innocence of childhood, you know, the hypotheticals I'm giving out are not anything targeted and mean from a kid, but how we twist that all around as an adult, you know what I mean? 10 years ago when you, you know, whatever, and kids aren't thinking like that. Kids are throwing up fun hypotheticals, but that, I don't know, just that the stuff we did as kids gets shifted all about and wrong sometimes as adults, and those aren't, and that doesn't mean that the, does that make sense? The kids aren't, when they're doing the hypotheticals as kids, they're not doing it in a mean way, or
sure, and I think when people are asking those questions, they really are searching for some kind of validation. Usually when you ask if me and your best friend are dangling from the cliff, one of us is going to die unless you grab us by the wrist and pull us up. Who are you choosing? It's, I'm asking that question because I'm feeling a little insecure about something in our relationship. I want some sort of validation of, like, no, you're the important one. That's what you're looking to feed. And, you might not get the answer you want is one of the real, real hard parts about that. And B, there's this piece where it would be so much more effective to say, so Christine, I'm feeling a little sad. Could you give me some affection? Like, it's such a more direct way of addressing what's going on. And just, you know, if you can be present to your own emotion, like, what is the emotion that's driving this question? What is it I'm feeling? What am I thinking? What is it that, and address it in a more clean, honest way, can just save a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, and what also happens too, and this is part of the reason why we created the love treaty and you know, put it up online so people could download it and get all the things that we use in our lives when we hit difficult things, is, and this is something that Noah said to me. I remember we had just moved to San Francisco and we were living together, really, I mean, for the first time. And we were putting our money together and managing our money together, which is like huge. You know, we were very different in how we managed our money. And came home from this really great walk and I had just flipped out. You know, I was like, something happened with money and, like, you know, there was like some charge that I didn't know about, and I just you know, flipped out on him. And he just looks at me all calmly and, like, just, you know, because he's not going to hit below the belt, and I'm like, you know, my defense mechanism is to get a little crazy and then be like, wah! You know, much more calm. So I'm like, wah, 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 wah. And he just looks at me, he says, yeah, you know, I definitely should have told you about that, and yeah, that's not good. And the level of anger and energy that you're having, the charge that you're having about this incident, is way more than is really called for. He said, you know, the crime and the punishment are not matching, and I think that I'm actually paying for someone else's crime. And it just, like, stopped me dead in my tracks, and all I could think about was, you know, something that had happened with my ex-person and blah, 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 blah. And now, you know, it's like, wow, like, this thing triggered something that happened, you know, 7 years ago. And the level of anger that I was having was so not appropriate. But I had no consciousness at the time until Noah said that to me, that the level of anger and emotion I was having was not about Noah. It was really about something that was unresolved inside of me that had something to do with a love crack that happened earlier. And so that level of awareness is something that's really important for each of us to bring into our own lives. And this is the journey of self-love, is really loving yourself back into the truth of the wholeness that you are. And we have to go back to those places where we have those love cracks. And relationship is one of the best grounds to actually work that in. And so in my relationship with Noah, I don't think I might have ever even been able to heal that wound had Noah not been triggered in that. But instead of blaming Noah for the trigger, I took responsibility for it and then did what I needed to do on a self-love level to actually heal that love crack.
Okay. Noah, I'm gonna move you for a second and talk to Christine. Is that okay? Just so I
really want to
talk to you about self-love, Christine. And go here, and I want to make sure we have enough time because I'm very curious about you, and I'm wondering, because so many of us women just can't stand ourselves. We just can't. We completely torture ourselves, and I think a lot of the times men sit around wondering, you know, I'm not seeing that. I think you're beautiful. Why are you, like, my husband will say to me, you know, I wrote a blog the other day about, does my butt look fat in these jeans? And it was about the time where I had been pregnant. You know, I gained 80 pounds with each pregnancy, lost all these things. But there was one point after a pregnancy where I put on my husband's jeans. I didn't know it, but I put on a pair of jeans and I'm cheering in the bathroom when they fit. Woohoo! Yeah, they fit. And he came in and he's like, those are my jeans. Okay, it was hysterical. You know, and so you have respect. We probably have laughter going on in this house more than anything. We completely crack each other up, and we have integrity and trust and all those things. But I'm curious. I think the one thing, do you think sometimes it takes somebody else to sort of start the ball rolling with you learning to love yourself, to kind of wake you up to that, to get you going on that journey of self-love? Or do you think people are, I know with your help, this is why I think you do what you do, is you help people stop beating themselves up.
Yeah, it's. I'll say a couple things, and I actually loved it. Noah's been a huge piece of my self-love journey, so I'd like to invite him to tell a certain story that will relate, I think, to that. But let me say this, is that I really believe that every single one of us has to at some point decide that we want to and choose to love ourselves. And that there's a moment when you really get, wow, this is really important, and it's important for me, it's important for my children, it's important for my relationship. It's the crux. It's where everything starts. And then to really get that, self-love isn't a destination. It's not like someday you're like, okay, I love myself, I'm done, I'm complete. Like, it doesn't work like that.
I think it's harder as you get older. I don't know how old you are, but
you know, I'm 44 and the wrinkles are starting to show up and I'm like, oh my God, you know, kind of thing. And you have to really, it's like not about the wrinkles.
Yeah, well, it's not, and so that's why when I look at self-love, I think about self-love, and mainly with me, the what it's based on is the 10 branches of self-love. And it's like, you know, because people will be like, okay, love yourself. Okay, like, great, okay, got it, yes, of course I should love myself.
Okay.
And yet, what does that really mean? So there's 10 branches of self-love, self-acceptance, self-care, self-compassion, self-awareness, self-esteem, self-empowerment, self-expression, self-pleasure, self-respect, self-honor, self-trust, all of them. And then the roots are self-worth. And so we're always, at any time in our life, we need to know what branches of our self-love tree are really thriving and which ones are healthy, even surviving, and to make a commitment to really grow those branches of self-love. Every month in the Love Club, which is a club that I run for people around the world, we focus on one branch, and we grow that branch, and we deepen that branch, and we do it together, to the point of your question, is because what happens and why we don't love ourselves and why we don't choose the actions that actually relate to the love for ourselves is not because we don't know what to do, right? So like when I met Noah, my branch of self-respect and self-honor, even though I had such self-esteem, my branch of self-esteem has always been so big. Like I've always believed in myself. I've always known I can do anything. I've been overconfident. If anything, my branch of self-esteem had got too big. But my branch of self-respect, when I first had met Noah, it was in some pretty bad shape, because I had said yes to staying in a relationship that was emotionally and verbally abusive. And I stayed because I didn't really believe that anyone else would love me. If this guy didn't love me, then no one else would. And I also wouldn't leave because I'm like, I will fix this. Like that self-esteem branch of like, I will make this so. And when I remember when I met Noah and he said to me, it was like our third date, Noah, I think he said to me, he said, so Christine, I don't really know what's going to happen between the two of us, but you have to raise your standard for men. You can't like a man because he's nice to you. He's supposed to be nice to you. And I was like, oh. And there I am, like, tell
my
MBA, getting my, like, an executive, and I don't know that. And that was because my self-respect branch, which is all about treating yourself as sacred and believing you're sacred, And only having respectful relationships and situations in your life was damaged. And so in that moment, whether Noah and I had chosen to stay in a relationship or not, he gave me a big, huge permission slip. And this is why, you know, we do the work at the Love Club, and I do the work with women in retreats and other situations, because we have to, sometimes we can't give ourselves permission. And so in that moment, Noah gave me permission to really raise the bar, that respect is mandatory. It's not optional. And he also did the same thing with my relationship with my body and about self-acceptance. And I met a woman yet who doesn't have challenges to her body. And Noah, do you remember that night, that day in the room in our bedroom where I was trying some clothes on and I used the F word?
I've used it many times, Noah.
Yes, I banned her from using the word fat, that it was just no longer something that was appropriate to use, because she had said it like 7 times in 10 minutes or something. It was just like, oh my God, I don't know what you're talking about. I am unable to fathom what it is that you're interpreting of that way. And that word is just something you have to remove from your vocabulary.
It's funny because it's not, guys and girls are so different like that. And Christine, what we think guys are looking at or want or whatever is like so skewed, weird in our heads. Like we use the fat word with ourselves. Like, Christine, have you ever looked in the mirror and said, wow, this makes me look fat, or I look fat, or whatever?
Well, I don't use that word. I mean, I used to, but Noah gave me the great big permission slip. And so what I did, and actually, Noah, you might not remember you said this too. Noah's very wise. He helps me a lot on my self-love journey. He said to me, if you want to be more fit, that's great. And if you want to say that to yourself, that's great too. But no more saying that you're fat. So I took the A out and I put the I in. And so now what I do in those moments when, you know, I put my jeans on and there's things that are moving out that I don't want, where did you come from, right? Or, you know, I'm feeling a little bloaty.
I don't
bloaty
know that feeling
or,
at all, Christine, ever.
instead of going to the place of, well, and so, yeah, well, we all do, right? I go to the place of self-compassion, right? So that's
good.
One of the branches. And then also really listening to what my body wants. One of the things I teach are the five gates of self-love. There's not a book on this yet, but if you want to know more about it, you can download my self-love kit on my website. I will write a book about it at some point, but right now I just do these 40-day self-love practices because, again, self-love is about giving yourself permission, right? So what I realized was that there were all these ways in which I wasn't loving myself, and so I created these 40-day practices that I would just be like, okay, I don't love myself in this way. I'm going to do a 40-day practice around it. And I remember when I figured out that I had a really intense inner mean girl. Her name was Mean Patty. She is red hair. She wears smock. And I do.
Really,
I've transformed her. She's,
do you?
What's that?
It doesn't seem like you would do. Okay, keep going. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. But
yeah, so I had this mean girl in her. She was my comparison queen, and she loved to compare me to everybody else. And especially when my first book came out, she's like, well, that's great, Christine, you have a book and all, but Oprah has a couch, and Barbara Walters has a TV show. Like, what's up with you? What have you been doing? And I actually ended up creating a relationship with her and transforming her into my inner talent scout. So now she goes out and she finds really awesome people who actually inspire me. And that this is going to be my next book that I'm writing right now with Amy Ehlers, mm-hmm. which is all about transforming your inner mean girls. Because the truth is, I've talked to now probably over 25,000 women in 6 countries. Every woman, no matter who she is, has these voices inside of her. And we are, if
we
people
all do
can
that.
See the way that we talk to ourselves, yeah, it's yep. we have to call the authorities on us. It has to call the authorities on us. So I really just would like to give every person listening to this call right now, which listening to us, I'd like to give them another mantra if I can. One of my favorite self love mantras. Would that be okay?
It would be, and I want to come back to the inner mean girl and the fit fat thing if we can go back there again. But keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So everyone, close your eyes and just take a deep breath and just. Connect into some place in your life where you're being really hard on yourself, a place where you're being mean to yourself, a place where you're not giving yourself credit, a place where you feel pressure or stress, a place where you're judging yourself, comparing yourself, driving yourself to perfection. And then put your hand on your heart and just imagine seeing yourself in that situation. And imagine yourself turning to you, looking at you with those eyes of just exhaustion and overwhelm and tears and sadness and fear, and just say these words to yourself 3 times, or just listen to me saying them to you. You are doing the best that you can, and it is enough. You are doing the best that you can, and it's enough. You are doing the best that you can, and it is enough. And just take a deep breath in and just feel that gentleness of compassion, self-compassion, touch your heart and the truth of you're doing the best that you can, love, and it's enough. That's what self-compassion feels like.
Yep.
And that's a mantra that you can take and keep in your purse and take it out like a tic-tac whenever you know, use tic-tacs to freshen your breath. That's a love mantra you use to freshen up your spirit when you're being hard on yourself.
Well, and that approach to life is the difference. For example, like I don't compare and despair, and I don't get jealous, and I don't do all those things, and I haven't for a really, really long time. Like I don't beat myself up with my jeans don't button, or, you know, I just don't do those things anymore. And, like, the difference, I think, is, like, on your website, madlyinlovewithme.com, there's this absolutely beautiful, stunning picture of you, Christine. Your smile, your smile is so beautiful. Your hair is so beautiful. You have your hand over your heart even. And kind of around, it's kind of upper, but it's right in front of you. There's a picture flashed around again. And you're so beautiful. And the difference between, like, saying to you, you're so beautiful, will you come on my show, will you be here with me, will you tell my audience about all those things, there's no, I don't have it like a tinge of jealousy toward you, and you don't have a tinge of jealousy toward me. We don't have tinges of jealousy towards somebody doing something we're not or looking different or anything like that. And that's the security in yourself. Can you elaborate that on that just a little bit?
Because it's about truly self acceptance, and this is true in relationship with your partner. Noah and I were just talking about this the other night, and it's true in the relationship with yourself, is that you are who you are, and when you try to be somebody else, or you look at somebody else to define who you are, or you look at somebody else and wish you could be that way, oftentimes what you're actually seeing is something inside of yourself that you're really, really wanting to come forth, but that's been repressed. And you are all, each of you, the reason you see me in that picture on madlyinlovewithme.com that way is because I took that picture the day after my birthday, and I was just so me, so in my essence, so purely in my essence of love that just came through. And so each one of you, every single one of us, if we just are who we are and we stop trying to be anyone else, because it's literally impossible to be anybody else, that's when we actually find joy and peace. It's trying to be somebody else where we find so much pain. And the same thing is true in relationship, and Noah and I were just talking about this yesterday, is that we're just so committed to really seeing each other for who each other really is. And one of the most dangerous things that you can do in relationship is date or marry someone's potential, or try to be in relationship with someone's potential. And it's the same thing with yourself. You have to accept the people for who they are. People tell you who they are. You got to believe it. And the same thing with yourself. It's like, really, like, would you tell your daughter or your son, yeah, you're not good enough. Yeah, you're not good enough the way that you are. You know, you'd never do that.
But some people grow up that way. Sure. I think some people do grow up that way. Yeah,
that's the love cracks.
I do that absolutely not.
That's the love cracks.
Yeah.
And that's, people always ask me, oh, go ahead.
No, keep going.
So people always ask me, that our parents, they always say, what can I do, to teach my kids self-love? And I always say, love yourself. Because that child watches everything that you do, everything that you say. And I'm here in Chicago. Noah and I are with my two goddess daughters, Lucy and Janie, who are 11 and 10. And I've watched as their mother has loved her more, how they literally, Lucy and Janie, follow suit. So I dedicated my book, Madly in Love with Me, to the three of them, because it's been my great gift to watch the connection between mother and daughter and son and daughter. And it's just with my clients who have sons, is that really it's what you choose that your child watches. And it's the same thing in our relationships. It's like the way that we can't change somebody else, but we can surely inspire someone else to be who they are, the best of who they can be, by reflecting that back to them.
Right. I'm gonna bring high school into this. I have to bring high school into this, because I've told the story on air a few times, and I'm gonna tell it to you and see what you think. I was at a swimming meet waiting for my son. He's a swimmer, and there were three girls and a fourth one kind of over, and these three girls were standing there. And the fourth one couldn't hear him. She was too far away. And they were standing there, and they were, maybe 15, 16, somewhere around there. And they were like, I don't know why she doesn't like me. I don't know what it is. I'm going to go a little long here. That kind of conversation of like, I don't know what I do that she doesn't like me. I don't know, the typical girl thing. I don't know if I wear the wrong clothes or whatever, but no matter what I do, she doesn't like me. And I stepped in and I said, hi, I'm Elizabeth. I can't help but overhear your conversation. I own Best Ever You, and you can look at my website and stuff like that. And I said, have you guys ever thought that maybe it's not you, but maybe it could be her? Maybe she's got something going on that you're not aware of. Have the three of you ever stopped and had a really peaceful conversation with her and given her a hug or talked to her in any way other than talking about her? And they hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Outer Mean Girls are all come from inner Mean Girls, you know, and that's the thing. And what I really learned is that every single one of us, and I learned this a lot too from Noah, is that every single one of us want to be loved. It doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter whatever. And it's really the common human basic need. And that's why I do the work that I do. It's why Noah and I do the work that we do with people in relationship. And it's it really is what we all truly desire. And so wherever, you know, you're all at, wherever this call finds you all tonight, today Noah and I are about to go off and just actually now have a deep heart connection and go have some lunch and talk about, you know, what we do want to create together and have a really love-filled afternoon. And so I encourage all of you to go out into the love dare. One of the things I love to do is give people self-love dares, and part of making self-love real is to go out and find evidence of love, collect evidence of love, because love is everywhere, love is free, love is abundant. And so you can just like go out for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and just go out and be like, okay, I'm going to go look for evidence of love. And then when you find it, take a picture of it on your phone and post it up on your Facebook site, and or, you know, write it down on your in your journal, or just like sit there and really take it in. And when you can consume love like that, it just shifts your whole day. And it's a dare I give myself whenever I'm feeling like crap or whenever I'm feeling lonely or isolated. I go out and collect evidence of love. So I invite you all to go out and collect evidence of love today.
I did that today. My husband and I were driving to work out today, and it happened to be when the buses were picking up the kids. Our kids were already gone. And there was this mom, or maybe probably grandma, actually, just absolutely had this little kindergartner in her arms, like the biggest bear hug ever, as she was getting on the bus. It was so adorable. I said to my husband, oh, I wish I had my camera with me, and I usually carry my camera everywhere I go, but I would have made him stop the car and gotten a picture of it. It was so adorable. People like that. And I know you guys have to go. I know I'm a little over on time here, but Noah, are you still with us?
I am.
Do you have anything to add to everything we talked about? No, there's a lot there.
I just really encourage you to all find compassion. Compassion for yourself and compassion for your loved ones, and that the path is always through compassion. Love comes through compassion, and it is love for yourself, love for others. It's easiest found by first leaning into compassion. And as you see those evidence of love in the world, just bring it in. Feel it, breathe it, and let it be part of you. It doesn't have to be an external thing. The fact that you can see it just means it's inside of you, too.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, you guys, I hope you have a beautiful anniversary. I thank you very, very much for spending some time with me. And I just want to go through your books and websites really fast, Christine and Noah, just to leave everybody in the audience with where they can reach you. There's ChristineArlo.com. There's MadlyInLoveWithMe.com. There's Christine Arlo on Twitter. Where else do you want to direct people?
Definitely go to madlyinlovewithme.com, because that is where you can get the free self-love kit. And then you can also get on the love letter list. So I send love letters out to people throughout the month.
I want one.
And then, I love to send them to you. And then you can also you can go on to the Madly in Love with Me Facebook page. And every day there's a post, a short post that's totally full of love. And so that's a good thing to get into your feed. And then if you want to know more about Noah and I and what we're up to, definitely download the Love Treaty. Go to thelovetreaty.com and download the Love Treaty. And then we also have a Facebook page called Love on the Road. And that we can help, you can follow the travel that we're taking as we are nomads and are traveling around the world sharing the message of love.
Have fun. And I hope you guys both know how important everything is that you're doing. You're changing lives. Just raising everybody's awareness. It's so very, very important. So thank you. I hope you guys had fun. I hope it was fun.
We did.
And I hope you just have a wonderful anniversary. And enjoy Chicago. I'm from the Quad Cities, so I know Chicago well. It's a beautiful area.
That's where Noah was born. Noah was born in the Quad Cities.
I was born in Quad Cities, Davenport.
Oh, I graduated from PV. Pleasant Valley. Funny.
Yeah.
What school did you go? Did you go to school in Davenport?
I left when I was 7, so I went to basically grade school there.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, I knew that area well.
Well,
that's cute. It's a small world. All right. Well, lots of love to you both again. And thank you so very, very much. And on Thursday, everybody, on Best Ever You, we have Andy Lyons coming on. So very excited about that. We're going to welcome her to the show on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and have a beautiful day.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.